everyone. This is the Wayne Mattson Report, this Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight, this January 30th, 2010, from a very cold and snowy Washington, D.C. And tonight we're going to talk about the strange confluence of George Orwell's famous novel 1984 and what is happening in this country and around the world on a daily basis. 1984 was a novel. However, it seems like people in the current administration, the last administration, are treating that novel as a how-to book, a governance manual. And I'll take one major issue, because this past week we've had two audio tapes released by Osama bin Laden. Now, these are absolutely faked. Many of the ones we've seen in the past are faked. The only one that was ever validated as being authentic was the one in which bin Laden denied any connection to the 9/11 attacks. The one that we saw with this very obese bin Laden, where he claims credit for 9/11, absolutely not him. Intelligence agencies around the world have looked at that and determined that that was a fake. We'll talk about this, because this is at the essence of what has happened in the United States, why we now have a Homeland Security Department, why we now face being scanned, our nude images being scanned forwarded to other agencies, available for anyone to look at. All these abuses, the torture, all these other things that we've seen over the last several years since 9/11, all part of what Orwell warned us about. We're seeing it play out on a daily basis. The cable news is the telescreen of George Orwell's 1984. The United States and Britain, especially after this pathetic testimony by Tony Blair before the Chilcot inquiry in London just yesterday, another indication that Britain is airstrip one, part of Oceania. Oceania exists. It's called the United States, Britain, Australia, Canada, which has suspended parliament. And the neocons are basically the proles of 1984, the proles of Oceania. And all you have to do is read 1984, and it will play excerpts tonight, and then we'll talk about the fake bin Laden tapes. Bin Laden is the Emmanuel Goldstein of reality. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about a host of other things. And if you'd like to weigh in, the toll-free number, if you'd like to call the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. So when we talk about the fake bin Laden tapes, we also have to talk about what is Al-Qaeda. Robert Mueller, the head of the FBI, is now basically saying that Al-Qaeda is branching out into subsidiaries all around the world. This plays right into the George Orwell 1984 mindset. We are the mindless people of 1984, the Obamas, the Bushes. I mean, Obama today met George H.W. Bush, Poppy Bush, in the White House. He's reaching out to these people. There's a reason for it. And we'll talk about all this right after we come back from this short break. This is Wayne Mattson from Washington.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight. This is January 30th from Washington, D.C., where we were supposed to get about an inch of snow. But, again, you can't trust anything the government tells you, even the National Weather Service, because we now have about 5 or 6 inches on the ground, and it's still snowing. And that gets into the essence of what I want to talk about this evening, about this government, because in George Orwell's 1984, the government lied about everything. The Ministry of Peace was really the Ministry of War. This administration is going to be cutting a ribbon soon at the U.S. Institute of Peace, right near the State Department and the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C., and it's really going to be the U.S. Institute of War, because it's going to be the biggest repository for neocons, just like the proles in 1984, and we are basically adopting 1984 and Orwell's stark view of the future as our governmental policy. I'm going to play later a clip, but I want to talk about what is in 1984. Of course, Emmanuel Goldstein, the person who everyone reviled in the novel, he is Osama bin Laden in reality. They had to stir up the population against this mythical enemy. And in 1984, there's something called Chapter 3, which is called The Theory and Practice of Oligarchical Collectivism by Emmanuel Goldstein. And this is the book that Winston Smith was reading before he was arrested. Now, listen to this. In light of what happened today with the Justice Department of Eric Holder, basically they're not going to prosecute either John Yoo or Judge Bybee for torture. This was under the last administration. Bybee's now a federal judge. Yoo's a professor at UC California at Berkeley. These were the architects of the torture policy. Let me read this. This is from Chapter 3 of 1984, the book written by Emmanuel Goldstein. The scientist of today is either a mixture of psychologist and inquisitor, studying with real ordinary minuteness the meaning of facial expressions, gestures, and tones of voice, and testing the truth-producing effects of drugs, shock therapy, hypnosis, and physical torture. Or he is a chemist, physicist, or biologist, concerned only with such branches of his special subject as are relevant to the taking of life in the vast laboratories of the Ministry of Peace, and simply with planning the logistics of future wars. In the vast laboratories of the Ministry of Peace and in the experimental stations hidden in the Brazilian forests or in the Australian desert or on lost islands of the Antarctic, the teams of experts are indefatigably at work. Some are concerned simply with planning the logistics of future wars. Others devise larger and larger rocket bombs, more and more powerful explosives, and more impenetrable armor plating. Others search for new and deadlier gases or for soluble poisons capable of being produced in such quantities as to destroy the vegetation of whole continents, or for breeds of disease germs immunized against all possible antibodies. Others strive to produce a vehicle that shall bore its way under the soil like a submarine under the water, or an airplane as independent of its base as a sailing ship. Others explore even remoter possibilities, such as focusing the sun's rays through lenses suspended thousands of kilometers away in space, or producing artificial earthquakes and tidal waves by tapping the heat of the Earth's center. That's in the Goldstein Chapter 3 in 1984. What do we see here? Torture. We see use of biological warfare. I wrote extensively about the H1N1 virus, how it was spliced together in a laboratory. It was man-made. Big Pharma made a ton of money off these drugs like Tamiflu and the vaccine that no one wants now. They're basically, governments bought all this, making major pharmaceutical companies wealthy And so we're stuck with this. We're stuck with this idea that 1984 was a planning model, for the Bush administration and the Obama administration. Let's play this clip. This is also from Chapter 3 of 1984. I think you'll find this also to be as intriguing as the last passage I just read from the Emmanuel Goldstein Chapter 3, if we can play this clip.
Chapter 3, War is Peace. The splitting up of the world into three great superstates was an event which could be and indeed was foreseen before the middle of the 20th century. With the absorption of Europe by Russia and the British Empire by the United States, two of the three existing powers, Eurasia and Oceania, were already effectively in being. The third, East Asia, only emerged as a distinct unit after another decade of confused fighting. The frontiers between the three superstates are in some places arbitrary, and in others they fluctuate according to the fortunes of war, but in general they follow geographical lines. Eurasia comprises the whole of the northern part of the European and Asiatic landmass from Portugal to the Bering Strait. Oceania comprises the Americas, the Atlantic Islands, including the British Isles, Australasia, and the southern portion of Africa. East Asia, smaller than the others and with a less definite western frontier, comprises China and the countries to the south of it, the Japanese islands, and a large but fluctuating portion of Mongolia and Tibet. In one combination or another, these three superstates are permanently at war, and have been so for the past 25 years. War, however, is no longer the desperate, annihilating struggle that it was in the early decades of the 20th century. It is a warfare of limited aims between combatants who are unable to destroy one another, have no material cause for fighting, and are not divided by any genuine ideological difference. This is not to say that either the conduct of war or the prevailing attitude toward it has become less bloodthirsty or more chivalrous. On the contrary, war hysteria is continuous and universal in all countries, and such acts as raping, looting, the slaughter of children, the reduction of whole populations to slavery, and reprisals against prisoners, which extend even to boiling and burying alive, are looked upon as normal. And when they are committed by one's own side and not by the enemy, meritorious. But in a physical sense, war involves very small numbers of people, mostly highly trained specialists, and causes comparatively few casualties. The fighting, when there is any, takes place on the vague frontiers whose whereabouts the average man can only guess at, or around the floating fortresses, which guard strategic spots on the ceilings. In the centers of civilization, war means no more than a continuous shortage of consumption goods and the occasional crash of a rocket bomb, which may cause a few scores of deaths. War has, in fact, changed its character. More exactly, the reasons for which war is waged have changed in their order of importance. Motives which were already present to some small extent in the great wars of the early 20th century have now become dominant and are consciously recognized and acted upon. To understand the nature of the present war, for in spite of the regrouping which occurs every few years, it is always the same war, one must realize in the first place that it is impossible for it to be decisive. None of the three superstates could be definitely conquered even by the other two in combination. They are too evenly matched, and their natural defenses are too formidable. Eurasia is protected by its vast land spaces, Oceania by the width of the Atlantic and the Pacific, East Asia by the fecundity and industriousness of its inhabitants. Secondly, there is no longer, in a material sense, anything to fight about. With the establishment of self-contained economies in which production and consumption are geared to one another, the scramble for markets, which was a main cause of previous wars, has come to an end, while the competition for raw materials is no longer a matter of life and death. In any case, each of the three superstates is so vast that it can obtain almost all of the materials that it needs within its own boundaries. Insofar as the war has a direct economic purpose, it is a war for labor power. Between the frontiers of the superstates, and not permanently in the possession of any of them, there lies a rough quadrilateral with its corners at Tangier, Brazzaville, Darwin, and Hong Kong, containing within it about a fifth of the population of the earth. It is for the possession of these thickly populated regions and of the northern ice cap that the three powers are constantly struggling. In practice, no one power ever controls the whole of the disputed area. Portions of it are constantly changing hands, and it is the chance of seizing this or that fragment by a sudden stroke of treachery that dictates the endless changes of alignment.
Well, there you have it. There you have
all
it,
of the disputed.
Towns. What you that is from chapter 3, the Emmanuel Goldstein book from 1984. And if that doesn't sound like what is going on today, I don't know what is. Goldstein, of course, was Big Brother's enemy. He was used as the boogeyman. That's Osama bin Laden today. That quadrilateral they were talking about, linking, you know, from Africa to Asia, that's called the Crescent of Terror. It's the Islamic world. That's what the neocons are constantly pushing. That's why U.S. troops are in Iraq, Afghanistan. Obama has now put the U.S. into the war in Yemen. He's not bringing troops home. He lied during the State of the Union. Karzai said they're going to be there for at least 10 or more years. We're not leaving Iraq because the oil contracts have been let to the U.S. and other Western companies. We're in Yemen for the long haul because we're involved in at least a two-front civil war in that country against the dictator. So he lied. And not for, you know, I don't want to sound like Joe Wilson, that racist congressman from South Carolina, what he did last year. But Obama's lying about issues of life and death and war and peace. And he basically is no different than Big Brother in 1984. And all of his allies, we heard Tony Blair sit there with a smirk on his face at the Chilcot Inquiry, lying also. And we will be back with your calls right after this short break. This is Wayne Matson from Washington.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Matson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you live tonight from a very cold and snowy Washington, D.C. And let's go to the phones because we have, Mike calling in from Maryland. Mike, are you with us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I always enjoy listening to your show and always enjoy talking to you because you give people, you know, time to talk and express themselves. This is the topic that fascinates me. I'm a big fan of dystopic movies. I could talk, you know, I mean, you could devote a 3-hour show to this and never scratch the surface.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a website called OrwellToday.com.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware of it or not.
I'm not aware of it, but I'll certainly check it out.
Basically, it takes today's headlines and then frames it in the perspective of the novel 1984. I'm sure you know the history of George Orwell, how he was in British intelligence. He fought for the fascists and fought for the communists or worked for the communists or whatever. So he had insider information. And when I read the book in 1970 when I was in high school, I'm dating myself now.
Yes.
I thought, oh, man, that'll never happen. You know? and I couldn't believe in the book how compliant and how...
Yes.
I guess how stupid...
I think got the year wrong. I think we were well on our way in 1984 to this, but we hadn't quite achieved it yet. I mean, I think, you know, the Kennedy assassination in 63 was certainly one of the landmark events, but I think he missed the date, but he had everything else was right because by 2001, we were right there.
Well, if the powers that be had their way, they would have had everything in place 30 years ago if they could have. So, but like, you know, rust never sleeps, you know, there's no rest for the wicked.
That's right. And we are in a perpetual war. So when
I know.
President Obama said all troops are out of Afghanistan, I think he said August of this year. We know that's not true because there was a conference in London the last few days where they're talking about these troops, NATO troops, being in Afghanistan for the long haul, even paying off the Taliban now.
It's total insane.
Yes.
And then you have Osama bin Laden coming out and saying that we should be chastised or boycotted because of our contribution to global warming.
Oh, well, I don't think that was bin Laden.
Of course.
He quotes Noam Chomsky. In 2006, he quoted my friend William Bloom, who's here in Washington, who's both these guys have written all about the U.S. CIA support for the Mujahideen. They were basically against the U.S. getting involved in that operation. Look, the Soviet Union was trying to bring Afghanistan out of the feudal era, but because it was part of this Cold War construct, people like Brzezinski and after him William Casey at the CIA turned Afghanistan into another battlefield. And now we're being told, well, some Taliban were going to pay. This is just like when the side switched in 1984. Eurasia is no longer our enemy. East Asia is our enemy. Eurasia is our friend.
Of course.
It's the same thing. It's absolutely the same thing. The idea of East Asia, you know, the U.S. against, you know, is now saying it's going to sell advanced weapons to Taiwan. This is triggering a big problem with the Chinese. The Chinese, you know, the hacking of Google and all this other stuff. It looks like the East Asia part is playing out. The European Union plus Russia looks like it's Eurasia, and the Americas plus Britain, and a few of Britain's old Commonwealth colonies looks like that is in fact Oceania.
Well, that's right, and basically they're going to have the three or four main power blocks in continual warfare. Fighting
right.
for the resources in the third world countries, and the third world countries are largely going to be the battleground, and like the movie 1984 is a great movie.
Yes.
Richard Burton, he was drinking so heavily he almost didn't finish it, but he still gave a good performance, and it's a great movie.
Absolutely, and even the first one they did with Peter Cushing, who used to play in those Dracula movies, it was done by the BBC. That was even though they didn't have the great special effects for its time, it was a good rendition of 1984. But yes, you mentioned all these movies, you know, like the Matrix, and I mean, how many have we seen? It is very eerie how Hollywood sometimes seems to get it before anyone else.
Well, I sometimes wonder. Is it predictive programming? Is it the artist trying to warn us, or does the artist have the insight, or are the powers that be kind of like, getting a little laugh?
Right. Well, certainly Patty Chayefsky's famous movie Network, I think he did warn us about what was going to happen to television news, and it absolutely played out that way.
And speaking of the ignorance of the people, if you heard Mark Dice has come out. He really comes up with some good stunts. You know, like a few weeks ago, he was trying to sell a $1,000 1 ounce gold coin for $40, and he never had a single taker.
Right,
And then he's got this one video where he's saying, "Hey, you're trying to get people to sign a petition to ban the First Amendment," and virtually everybody signed it.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. I mean, this is a fault of the education system because
sure.
Basically in 1984 there was no more education and there was the policy of doublethink. But anyway, Mike, thanks for calling in.
Can you give a shout out to a friend Heidi and her kids?
Absolutely.
Okay, hello Heidi.
Okay.
and Nick and Mariah. All right, you take it easy.
Okay, thank you. And we will be right back after this short break. This is Wayne Madsen from Washington.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Madsen with the Wayne Madsen Report, the Saturday Roundup, and the toll-free number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Tonight, we're talking about how the Obama administration, the Bush administration, administrations around the globe are basically following in the footsteps of Emmanuel Goldstein's Chapter 3 in George Orwell's 1984. And there's no better example than all these audio tapes and some videotapes. We haven't seen a videotape recently, but the last one was obviously a fake where it showed Osama Bin Laden's lips moving, but nothing else moved. It looked like the old Clutch Cargo cartoon. It was obviously a fake. And so what we're seeing here with these tapes is to keep the Bin Laden myth alive, which after the so-called underwear bomber, we, of course, had this Bin Laden tape. He claimed credit for it. He talked about Palestine, just as Israel is once again on the offensive, claiming parts of the West Bank to be Israel's territory in perpetuity. They whacked a Mossad whacked a Hamas leader in Dubai in a hotel. Apparently, the group, the Mossad people, got in there because the United Arab Emirates granted a visa for a visiting Israeli minister. This government in Israel is a terrorist government. They are so right wing. It's unbelievable. They're arresting all liberals and leftists and progressives and anti-war leaders in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. They're placing them under arrest. That is a fascist dictatorship, a theocratic fascist dictatorship. They have no business talking about Iran when they do the stuff they're doing. And this idea that they're the only flourishing democracy in the Middle East, please don't make me sick. That's absolutely ludicrous. It's insane. And I don't care if I get a nasty telegram from fat old Abe Foxman of the ADL, because he knows where he can go with all of his tripe and his constant whining. However, this Bin Laden tape is to keep everything, the status quo, in place, justify Obama asked for no cuts to the defense budget. There's not going to be any cuts to Homeland Security. But let's listen to this. I was on Russia Today talking about the first tape, and that was followed by another one. Let's listen to this short clip of from Russia Today about the first Bin Laden tape.
Osama Bin Laden, is he dead or alive? Over the weekend, an audio tape was released in which the al-Qaeda leader praised the attempted Christmas Day bombing on a U.S. airliner. This new tape has led many to believe that Bin Laden is indeed alive, but as with many al-Qaeda tapes, its authenticity has its skeptics. Joining me now, one of those skeptics, investigative reporter and RT contributor, Wayne Massam. Wayne, I want to thank you for being here in our studios. Now, you're saying that you believe that Osama bin Laden is not alive, that it's not his voice on those tapes. Why do you think that, and where are you getting your evidence?
Well, many in the intelligence community doubt the authenticity of this particular audio tape, because these tapes, both audio and some videotapes, are often found on these jihadist websites. We don't know who starts these websites. Anyone can start a website. But in many cases, it's a group called the Search for International Terrorist Entities site, an operation that's been linked to the Israeli intelligence service. So we don't know if this tape is authentic. And many people in the intelligence community also believe, until the full analysis is done, that this may not, in fact, be Bin Laden's voice on this particular audio tape.
But do you think that he's still alive?
Well, we know from the late Prime Minister of Pakistan, Benazir Bhutto, she actually said in a televised interview that she doubted that he was alive, because she said something about him being assassinated. Now, there was some recouping of that.
Who would he have been assassinated by, if not the United States?
Well, I think she indicated it was by somebody close to him in his entourage, but the thing with these various claims, there was a videotape also released last year where it was a Bin Laden. It almost looked like a cardboard cutout figure of what we see here in Washington. You can get your picture taken with President Obama, the First Lady, Michelle Obama, and only the lips were moving. And a lot of people looked at that and said, that looks a little bit strange as well. So the search for international terrorist entities sounds a lot like the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And you might actually discover an extraterrestrial before you'll discover Bin Laden right now, because many people also in the Middle East believe he died. Where he died is up to question. Was it in Afghanistan, or did he manage to get back to Yemen, his ancestral homeland, and did he die eventually of kidney failure?
Well, if this tape proves not to be Osama bin Laden, are Americans going to hear about this, or is this going to sort of be kept under wraps in the intelligence community, do you think? I mean, what's going to happen? And are we going to find out? You did mention this investigation that's taking place. When is that expected to come out?
Well, we don't know. And even if it comes out that it may not be him, Bin Laden is the gift that keeps on giving for certain interests. Certainly, the whole counterterrorism industry exists because Bin Laden has become the bogeyman to keep the fear factor going in the United States. And as long as Bin Laden's alive, we have him to point to as the enemy. He's sort of like Emmanuel Goldstein in George Orwell's 1984. What would they do without Osama bin Laden?
Well, you know what else is interesting? Regardless of who you think is on that tape, I posed this question to columnist Glenn Greenwald earlier on, because Osama bin Laden in the tape mentioned, Palestine and sort of the U.S. actions over there and in Gaza. Why do you think that the debate in the mainstream media and even among politicians isn't really ever framed around what effects could U.S. policies in the Middle East have back? What is that blowback effect? It's not really up for discussion. We don't really hear that often.
Well, certainly that's the case. And isn't it interesting? The issue of Palestine was never a big issue for bin Laden. It was the presence of U.S. troops in Saudi Arabia, the holy land of the two shrines. So why now, after the Israeli government is getting hit very badly on its public image, does this bin Laden tape arise in where he's interjecting the Palestine issue again?
So are you talking about there's not a coincidence in the timing? Talk about the timing behind this.
Well, I think the timing is very, very strange because, as we know, at the same time the tape appears, Netanyahu's saying that certain parts of the West Bank belongs to Israel forever. So this obviously, this tape comes at a very good time for the Israeli government's special interests.
Well, apparently a lot of different players involved. RT contributor Wayne Maximoff.
Okay. Well, there you have it. That was myself on Russia Today talking about this first tape, and then there was the second tape where bin Laden sounds like he's now an environmentalist, and just the day after Ben Bernanke was reconfirmed to be the chairman of the Fed, we have bin Laden talking about going after the U.S. dollar. Very, very good. Now, so, you know, setting it up, it's Bernanke versus bin Laden. It's all fakery. But anyway, Clarence has been holding on the line from Oklahoma, so let's bring Clarence on. Clarence, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, Wayne. The storm that just hit you passed through here about the last 2 or 3 days, and I'm nursing 4 broken ribs right now, but that's okay. I'll survive.
Oh, my. Well, yes, it's very slippery out there. It's in the teens and snowing, so there's no melting of this.
Yeah, it's 20 degrees here right now. But at any rate, this is such a great topic tonight. Because I remember reading 1984 when I was in high school, approximately the same time, so I can date myself along with you and some others here. And that's what I've always suspected is that, look, with the technology the United States government has and our supposedly highly vaunted military or intelligence services, don't tell me they can't find a 6-foot-4-inch tall Arab hauling a dialysis machine around.
Right. Many people think he died, actually, of kidney failure in December of 2001. He did not, of course, get killed by U.S. forces because he and his party was basically allowed to escape from Tora Bora.
It was their intention to find him anyway. He is, just like you said, he is the Emmanuel Goldstein. I can't reread 1984. I tried last year. It's too disturbing now that I know what really
it is,
know
because
what it is.
It's like you're reading the newspaper.
Exactly, and that's what bothers me about it. But, you know, they've got to have him. He's so convenient. I mean, it's so transparent in a way. All they got to do is whenever they get in a tight spot, or they're in a crack somewhere, they'll trot him out with one of these fake tapes or whatever they are, and they'll bring out this personality, and then he'll go booga booga booga, and everybody will just
Well, and the thing is, with the internet, anyone can create a so-called jihadist website and post this stuff, and then in the last case, the tape was delivered apparently to Al Jazeera. And Al Jazeera actually had a panel discussion about what bin Laden was saying on the tape. I mean, why even give it any attention, because it was such an obvious fake. I mean, Bin Laden quoting Noam Chomsky. I mean, what is he going to do? Issue one, saying which team he wants to win the Super Bowl. As I said on RT yesterday, it's getting silly. The Bin Laden tapes are now getting so silly. Why even pay any attention to
them? Well, yeah.
They're obvious fakes.
It's just made me laugh, and that's the way I am right now. It only hurts when I laugh, so.
Oh, well, we'll try not to.
Okay, yeah, but.
Anyway,
I'll say this right quick before I go.
Okay.
It's a wonder, you know, that we've got everything that 1984 had, except, I don't know, when are they going to start instituting the 5 minutes of hate every day?
That's right. Well, yeah, tuned to Fox News, and you get that.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Much more than 5 minutes.
You can get that 24/7. So.
And Rush Limbaugh, he'll fill in when Fox, isn't doing their hate fest.
Falling down on the job, yes.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll let you go.
Listen, get better, Clarence, and stay off the ice.
Believe me, I will.
Okay. Thanks for calling in. And before we go on our break, Harvey's been holding on from Florida. Harvey, are you with us?
Yes, Wayne. How are you tonight?
Good.
I think Bin Laden, he's a Saints fan because he's always for the underdog.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, I mean, what's he going to do? Come out next and talk about what kind of non-cholesterol food we should eat?
Stay away from McDonald's would be the next tape. Stay away from McDonald's.
It's just silly. It's getting silly, and I actually couldn't believe that Al Jazeera actually had a panel discussion. But, you know, I mean, they're obviously playing along with the myth. He's been good for them, although the fact that they used to play a lot of those Bin Laden tapes almost got their studios bombed over in Doha because Bush was talking to Blair.
Well, now, obviously, we run that studio now, so it's okay. That's why we don't have to bomb
I think
them
we
anymore.
Do. You know, one of the largest bases in the world is the Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, and it's huge. I just spoke to somebody who drove by it, and it's a huge base. And so we're building all these huge embassies everywhere. At Port-au-Prince, Haiti, we're building the fifth largest U.S. embassy in the world in Port-au-Prince of all places. Defies logic.
Well, we're the dominant power of the world. Don't forget that. You know, we're
right.
Number one.
And if you read, and you know, as I mentioned, in 1984, if you look at what comprised Oceania and the policies of Oceania, we're basically there. They're talking about where torture becomes a matter of policy. These huge aircraft carriers, bases everywhere, fooling around with biological warfare. I mean, we had the anthrax attacks on Congress. We had the H1N1 hyped up pandemic. I wish 1984, it's a novel. People should not be using it as a how-to book on how to govern.
Well, you have to pray to Big Brother every morning. But, you know, I'm looking at something here, Wayne. This is unbelievable. Looking at a picture, which is in the electronic version of New York Times right now, of Daddy Bush and Jeb Bush in a snowy background in Washington, D.C., visiting with President Obama this morning.
Yes. Yes, he was there. They were there, and it defined. You know, and I should add that Obama spent yesterday in Baltimore talking to the House Republicans. He's reaching out to all these crazies, these lunatics, and corrupt people like Poppy Bush. Of course, he's got George W. there with Clinton on a Haiti relief operation. He's not doing anything to talk to. I talk to people in the House of Representatives, Democrats, long-serving Democrats, say he doesn't talk to them. He gives them the back of his hand.
He worked for Daddy Bush, apparently.
That's right.
Isn't that the rumor that he worked with Daddy Bush for 20 years?
I uncovered the fact that he was obviously working with the CIA after he graduated Columbia, the Business International Corporation. He was in Indonesia traveling to Pakistan when we were building up the Mujahideen. He looks like he was an early recruit of the CIA.
Daddy Bush had to go there and pay his respects with Jeb in tow, and listen to this quote.
Yeah.
The meeting was a courtesy call between the presidents, said Jim Appleby, a spokesman for Mr. Bush. President Bush is in town on personal business, running America, which is what he still does.
Carlisle
must
have had another board meeting. But you're absolutely right.
Maybe Bin Laden's father will be at the board of directors.
Exactly. And you know the thing about this is it's just so. You know, he's not doing anything to reach out to the long-serving Democrats. People like Byron Dorgan are leaving the Senate because they basically had it with putting up with Rahm Emanuel, who is so foul-mouthed to members of his own party. He's nice to the Republicans, but he uses the F-word against people in his own party, long-serving people there. And you just wonder, what do we have here? And I thought it was interesting that Hillary Clinton has now said that she will not serve as Secretary of State if he has another term. I'm hearing reports that she's never liked Rahm Emanuel, and they've actually had it out, and he's used the F-word. But, you know, she's tough. She uses the F-word back.
I'd like to get a copy of that tape.
yeah. Well, maybe we will eventually. We'll have to see if somebody can get Hillary on the telephone up there. But anyway, it's
get the Russians to bug a phone, because you know they have that place like regularly. The Russians must have it on tape.
And the Chinese are reading the emails, so we've got it all covered. I mean, it's but anyway.
You're up to good work, Wayne. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Keeping me, baby.
Okay, thanks for calling in from Florida, Harvey. I hope it's a lot warmer where you're at than it is here right now. But anyway, we will continue to talk about 1984 because I think if you haven't read it, it's not the best read. It could be called a cure for insomnia, but you should really pick it up from your library or from a secondhand bookstore. It's really a great read, and it's a documentary now more than a novel. This is Wayne Mattson. We will be right back after this short break.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Okay, welcome back. This is the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you from Washington, D.C., where it is very, very cold and snowy this evening. We got more snow than the National Weather Service first predicted, but that gets to another point. What can we trust from the government any longer? Absolutely nothing. I am now seeing reports that the U.S. Geological Survey may be downplaying the magnitude of earthquakes. Why in the world would they do that? Why would the National Weather Service, why did they basically give the wrong information about Katrina in New Orleans? We get a lot of this government lying. We know that they're fixing the unemployment statistics from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That they were always held as a closed secret, so people couldn't manipulate the stock market. But we see all the manipulation of data, even scientific data, now from the government. It's to the point now where the Republicans and the Democrats, and we see Obama meeting with Poppy Bush, with the Republicans in the House, W was there with Clinton. It's one party. It is the party in 1984. There's one party. We need to really scrap these two parties, get rid of the people that are in them, in office. And I'm thinking what we need is a truth party. We need people that will not lie. No more BS. Open up the government secrets, all of them. We don't need the government to have secrets. It's all a big game. The CIA, the National Security Agency, the Director of National Intelligence, they're self-perpetuating fraudulent operations, hyping up a threat of Osama bin Laden based on phony tapes. We went to war based on phony evidence, the Niger yellow cake uranium documents. They try to put people in prison based on fake Iraqi oil ministry documents that were altered. So the neocons could attack their political opponents in countries around the world, from Russia to France to Britain to the United States. It's so obvious what these people are up to. We need to start a new political party. We can call it the Truth Party. Forget the teabag thing, because that's Dick Armey's thing, and that's nothing more than an adjunct of the Republican Party. Nice try, Army, but we see right through you're a lobbyist, and this is a contrivance to make it look like there's a split with the Republicans. There's no split in the Republican Party. It's held by these evangelical fundamentalists, Pat Robertson type people. We have Bob McDonald, a graduate of Pat Robertson's college. You know, Pat Robertson said there was the earthquake in Haiti because the Haitians signed a deal with Satan. This is what we have in the governor's mansion. He gave the Republican response to Obama's speech. But there were lies all around. Obama lying about the troops coming out of Afghanistan in August. McDonald lying, you know, with every utterance out of his mouth. What we need is no tea parties, no Republican Party, no Democratic Party. We need a Truth Party. We got to have people that will be committed. No more government secrets. No more lying. We've had it. The people of this country deserve better. It goes back to the Revolution when the Federalists under Washington and Adams pushed for almost a dictatorship against people like Madison and Thomas Jefferson. And on that, we will sign off with the Virginian, and we'll think about the good Virginians, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, and we'll think about those who weren't so hot, like George Washington. Anyway, more on Washington in a future program. That's it from Washington. This is Wayne Madsen.